Welcome back to another episode of the Mythic Giraffe Podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Ron.
Where do I dance every time? It's windy and rainy.
It is rainy AF. It's actually calmed down here, so I think it's finally starting to stop.
Oh, that's good.
As it moves down the coast towards you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice that, you know, when they had the appliances delivered this morning, it was in the pouring rain.
Yeah. So did your appliances decide... I don't know if it happened the same thing to you. You got your taxes done. You realized you weren't screwed on your taxes. So then like three appliances went out. So you had to get those replaced.
Oh, no. No. This started with my darling wife saying, I don't like the way our dryer dries the clothes.
Doesn't it tumble them and make them dry?
That's yeah. She's like, well, sometimes you have to put it in longer. I think it should just do it. So that's going to be any dryer, especially if you overload it like you do, but whatever. I was like, you know what? Fine. Screw it. Let's get you a dryer. If that'll make you happy. So we're looking at dryers. And right beside dryers are stoves. So we looked at stoves. Came home. Sarah said, I'm going to go ahead and order this. I was like, oh, the dryer? She's like, yeah, and? I was like, and what? Well, I mean, a stove and a microwave. I was like, what? The microwave? She's like, well, if you get a new stove, you have to have a new microwave to match it. It's like, yes, you're absolutely right. Let's do this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. The theme of my world was last week we were supposed to go away in the camper.
Yeah.
So fire up the old fart family RV, go down to the beach, spend our weekend away. Go to start the RV.
Deader
than a hammer.
Yeah.
So that's weird. Well, I'll try to jump it. Nope. Doesn't take a jump.
Huh.
That's bad. Get a battery test on there. Oh, it's got 3 volts in it.
Oh.
It's bad.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah.
So then, because we had it plugged in.
Huh. Was there water in it?
Nope. That's not. That would be the problem.
Hmm.
Except for this battery is less than 6 months old.
Oh, okay.
So, go to start the generator. Generator runs off the house batteries. That's weird. Generator won't fire. Can't even get it to start. Try to start. Oh, the house batteries are also dead. So something is parasitic loading and killed the batteries over the winter.
Oh my gosh.
Even though I thought that I took the precaution to keep them up.
Yeah.
I did not. Huh. Now I have to buy 3 new batteries. Disconnects to manually disconnect the batteries from the system so that when I store it, they're disconnected. Then I have to figure out where the parasitic load is and destroy that.
Destroy.
But,
well, the one battery that's only 3 months, that should be replaced. That should be a warranty thing.
They probably will take that back. I'm going to run it up to the store. Haven't got
just chuck it at them.
Yeah, fix this. I haven't gotten that part yet because. Funly, the Thursday night, so we're supposed to leave Friday, so the Wednesday night, because I worked Thursday, so for the Wednesday night, it was a little warm. My bedroom gets a little hot when it's warm outside, so I was like, oh, I'm going to turn my AC on and have a nice cold sleep before work.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, as you do. Turn my AC on. It's not turning on.
Oh, no.
That's weird. Well, maybe it's because sometimes, because I have the mini split system, you know, if they're not communicating right, like if one's set in heat and the other one's set in, you know, cool,
yeah,
it won't work. All right, that's probably what it is. I'll just go switch it over. Huh? That one's also not turning on. Huh? This is weird. Well, I'll deal with that when we get back from vacation.
Do you have gremlins?
I have a nice no. The universe found out that I didn't get screwed in my taxes.
So
I decided that I had to pay in other ways.
Well, yeah.
So, guy comes out to. Luckily, when my RV decides to, you know, take a shit, and I'm like, well, this has been a Wismer day, so I'm just going to go drink. I call the HVAC place, and they're like, oh, we can get a guy out there today. I'm like, what? You can what? Was this possible?
Yeah.
So he comes out. He's like, I see we had a technician out here last year. Didn't he tell you to fix all this or what needed to be done to fix? I'm like, no, he did this. And he's like, yeah, I see the notes. And he did he not do the leak test? I said, no, he never did a leak test. He's like, oh, great. So finds out that there's a leak somewhere in my system.
Oh.
So he runs a Freon detector through all the coils, nothing showing up. I said, oh, so it's in the lines upstairs, right? He's like, it's a 99% chance that it's up in the lines. There's a hole in your line. I said, is that covered under warranty? He said, no, it's not.
Okay, just so matter of fact, no.
I said, how much are we talking? He's like, well, we can either pull the whole lines out for about $5,000. Which means we have to, because they have to, I guess they have to neutralize the system, bleed everything out, pull the lines out, put new lines in. Or we can do this nitrogen test to see where the leak is and just patch the leak. I said, oh, okay, well, that sounds like it'd be cheaper, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, it costs like $1,800 to run the test. And then we have to find the leak and repair it. And then we have to refill your system because we poison all of the refrigerant to do the test. I said, oh, that sounds expensive. He's like, well, it's going to be about $3,000 before we figure out where the hole is.
Holy crap.
I said, okay. So it's $3,000 to just find the leak and then we're going to have to fix the leak. So we're talking $4,000 to $5,000. He's like, yeah, we're probably talking $4,000 to $5,000. I said, okay, how much is it to replace the whole system? It's like, oh, I don't know, probably $10,000. I said, so I could pay $10,000, have a whole new system, or $5,000 to $6,000 to fix the system.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, that's pretty much the long and short of it. I said, great. All right, well, have your guy come out and give me a quote to fix the system. So I had a quote for my system. I have to get a new system, obviously. Getting a new system. But as part of this, by the way, this is only step two of the fucking over of the universe.
Oh no. How is that only step two?
Yeah, so the guy says, hey, call this number. It's a Delaware Energize. They do like rebates for energy efficiency stuff. He's like, I think they give you $1,000 back and you can get a tax cut, all this stuff for your putting a new system because it's more efficient.
Yeah.
So that guy comes yesterday while I was at work, and you pay them $50 and they do like this energy efficiency test for your house. They put better bulbs in as part of the deal and then they give you a report. And if you qualify for the energy efficiency upgrade, you can get the rebate on your system. So it costs me $50. I'll get a $1,200 rebate on my system.
I think that's a worthwhile swing.
A pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Turns out,
to
qualify for that $1,200 rebate, I have to do $1,800 worth of work to my attic to re-insulate and seal the attic.
What?
So now there's a rebate for that too. Good.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. So now I have to re-insulate the attic at a cost of $1,800. Then I have to put a whole new system in at the cost of $10,000. And then I have to fix an RV. I haven't even gotten to that part yet.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That work. But this was all the universe saying, hello, we see you have a couple of dollars in your bank account.
Yep.
We'd like to fix that problem. So that's been my week.
Yeah. Well, did I tell you my driver's side seatbelt doesn't work?
What?
Yeah, my Jeep, my driver's side seatbelt stopped working.
Oh, yeah. Reminded me of my fourth fucked over by my Jeep.
It won't retract.
Oh, that sucks.
So I thought maybe it was like gummed up or something. So I like took it all apart. This one little spring went flying. I tracked that down and I was like, yeah, it's messed up. It's just not catching. I was like, but I can. So I sat in the seat. I clipped it in and I reached down like, and I like ratcheted it. So it fit me, locked it in, put everything back together. Cool. So I can still drive my Jeep safely for me. Nobody else can drive it, just me. Or if you have my body size.
Sure.
So I look, I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe they have replacements on Quadratech. Look at Quadratech, and there's one for like $100. All right, this fits your Jeep. Great. It's got, does not meet manufacturer specs or something like that. I'm like, oh, so if I get in an accident, this isn't going to be covered probably.
That's cool. Correct.
Yeah. So, all right. I was like, you know what? I'll call the Jeep dealership. So I put in a help ticket with them. They send me an email. We need your VIN so we make sure we get the right color. I was like, I don't care about the color of the damn seatbelt, but here you go. She writes back. She's like, okay. Okay. Driver's side seatbelt. That'll be $582. I was like, what? And she's like, yeah. Okay. I was like, no, there's just one seatbelt. She's like, yeah, one seatbelt. I was like, okay, well, what would labor be? Oh, I have no idea. I was like, well, could we factor that in?
Right.
Yeah, she goes, well, labor will be another $250 or so. So you're looking at about $700 to $800 to get this fixed. Okay. Well, then I look at Quadratec again. And I'm like, I could put a 5-point harness in for $200.
You should totally do that.
So I might be putting in a 5-point harness into my Jeep.
I love it.
God.
Well, so to crap on my Jeep, not the Jeep, the universe.
Yeah.
I went to the gym the other day, as I go most days.
Yeah.
I get to the gym and the fucking wind, I open my door, driver's side door of my Jeep, wind hits just at the right moment and snaps the little, the little restraining cloth.
Oh, yeah.
That closes, it keeps your Jeep door from flying too far. I'm like, motherfucker, that's just one more thing today.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife informs me, she's like, yeah, I already sewed that once. I'm like, maybe you didn't do the best job in the world.
I sewed that once.
Yeah. This was all, by the way, after I had ordered my brand new bike.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So,
yeah. That's the way it works.
Yeah. It's been a real whizmer of a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and part of the appliances, we looked at cabinets. Because in my office, I need to do storage. I need to do something. So I was like, oh, we'll put, a row of cabinets against the one wall and build bookcases above it. Done. So we're looking at cabinets. She's like, they're really expensive. I was like, well, I can make cabinets. And she goes, but would they look janky? I said, time out. I don't know if that's a slight against me or no, it's a slight against me.
Against you.
And she was like, well, no, it's just, will they look professional? I'm like, you're not helping your case. And she's like,
they look like a toddler got a hold of a saw.
Yeah. I was like, you have seen some of the project. I built the shed. She's like, well, part of it. I was like, don't even say that it looks janky because I had it specced out and then you changed your mind on the siding. So I had to drop and punt once we had already put the roof on. She's like, oh yeah, I kind of did that, didn't I? I was like, yeah. I said, we can build the cabinets to our specs, how big we want everything. She's like, I'm just worried about if we paint them, will there be brush strokes and things? I said, yes. Cause you know what? When people come to our house, the first thing they do is say, let me look at the paint strokes. Get the hell out of here, woman.
God. Guarantee you. Damn. The next time I come to your house and your wife is around and those cabinets are in, I'm going to be like,
Oh,
you can really see the brush strokes in these cabinets.
Oh my God.
And I'll just hear from the upstairs. I told you, God damn it.
God, I was like, seriously. So after that, we went and got a bite to eat. And, we're sitting there. She got something. I can't remember what. She's like, I was like, oh, how's your meal? She's like, oh, it's okay. I was like, oh, is it a little janky? God.
Well, we've also been
in the... And she fussed at me about graph paper.
What?
Well, she asked. She's like, do you need graph paper to draw out, what your blueprint is and everything? I was like, I don't think so. Well, the next morning, I went to the grocery store, as you usually do. When I was there, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to get graph paper. So I come home. She starts unloading the groceries. And she's like, I thought you said you didn't need graph paper. I was like, I changed my mind. Why did you tell me you didn't need it yesterday? I was like, what the hell, woman? I changed my mind. God.
Yeah. We desperately need to replace our cabinets in our kitchen because they're from 1975 and they're really falling apart. But man, the cost of cabinets are crazy.
Oh yeah. I told her, I was like, this'll be a good run through to see if we can just build cabinets for the kitchen.
I think I can hang the cabinets, but the I don't know that I want to build my cabinets. I think I could handle the hanging part, but then I can't. I'm not doing the countertop.
Yeah, you know? No, I'll get somebody to do the countertop.
Yeah, I'll get somebody to kind of do it because that's just,
yeah,
that's no bueno. No bueno.
Well, it's like when I did my wife's craft room with the cabinets she picked out, stained them and everything how she liked them, put them in, and she was like, well, I want to get like a linoleum or a laminate countertop or whatever. I was like, okay. So I was looking up how you do it and everything, and I made like this cardboard template that like had all these measurements on it and everything because it went through the corner and all that. I was like, I could probably do it, but let's just get somebody to come in here. So she found the countertop she wanted. It was at Home Depot, and they're like, we'll come out and do measurements and, you know, do installation, you know, for pennies on the dollar or whatever. Okay. So the guy comes over, and he looks, he's like, what's that cardboard over there in the corner? I was like, oh, I'd started to make a template. He picked it up, put it over top. He's like, this is perfect. This is all I need. Walks out the door. I was like, you motherfucker. God. Countertop came in, fit perfectly. So I was like, oh man, they did a really good job. I was like, no, I did a really good job. God. God.
Yeah.
Stupid. Yeah. Mm. Well, how's been the hell diving?
Hell diving is great.
Good.
I think what has been the best for me about it is I'll come in, I'll play a mission or two, and then I'm done for the day.
Oh, nice.
You know, I can just walk away from it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I need to really grind anything. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah. Not grinding feels nice.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the sad news of Larian? Because you have different views on it than I do.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Unless it's your topic.
No.
So Larian, if you haven't seen, announced that they're not going to do Baldur's Gate 4.
Right.
And they're not going to do anything D&D based at all.
Yeah.
Which I understand their viewpoint, because they had already had these games before. They just took their game model and made it Baldur's Gate, right?
Yeah.
And they want to go back to their IPs, which is, or whatever they do want to do next. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it still makes me sad.
I can see that, but I feel bad for the person trying to make Baldur's Gate 4.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, that's like a super steep, you know.
But does this mean it's going to be 10 years from now?
Probably.
You know?
I saw some stupid thing the other day. Oh, modding coming soon to Baldur's Gate 3. Go away. Well, look, I can do Excel inside Baldur's Gate.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Does Karlach have to get on TurboTax?
Yes.
God almighty. Yes.
But I mean, it also makes me sad because there won't be any DLC for this Baldur's Gate.
Yeah. Well, I thought they had said that from the beginning anyway.
I think they had talked about it, but this confirmed it.
Yeah.
They're not going to work on it.
Yeah. Well, but if there's modding and things like that, it could be like, oh god, I know there's been games that have done it. Like somebody has modded something, it's been so good, they're like, hey, let's make something out of this.
Oh
so,
yeah, there's plenty of games that do that.
Yeah.
But yes. I mean, DayZ is the perfect example. That was an Arma mod.
Yeah.
But it still makes me a little sad.
And
look, for all I know, 40% of the people that worked on Baldur's Gate have already been laid off.
God, yeah. There's been so many people laid off in the gaming industry.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because COVID, there was the huge spike, so everybody hired 8 billion people, and now they're like, we kind of overstepped.
I think it's partially that. I also think it's partly game developers, not the companies, but the developers want an unsustainable system to make games. I don't know the answer to all of these things, but the thing that makes me giggle about this is like they act like this is the end of gaming. It's like, right, the gaming industry's been around for 50 years now. It's not a new industry. Like every time I read, like, it's like, yes, there's new companies involved, and yes, there's new CEOs, but some of these companies, some of the people who worked at Activision have worked there for 20 plus years.
Right, yeah.
You know, they're not rookies. They're not making bad decisions because they don't know what they're doing. They're making the best decisions for their company.
Right. Unless you're Rocksteady.
Unless you're Rocksteady. Yeah, that's fair.
God. I sat down and watched all the cutscenes and like for the story of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of crack ass fever dream somebody was on that thought that was going to be good.
Well, I heard they're doubling down and they're going to make it better.
Oh, yeah. Sure they are. Yeah. Why don't they just put Joker from Harley Quinn in there and fuck it. Yeah, that's who we need. Jared Leto.
Well, you want to move on to topic one?
Yes, topic one.
So this is very, very, very inside baseball, but also I think it applies to other people's careers too. And I want to see your perspective on it because I think fundamentally our job is not fun anymore. And we were talking about it last night, and we talk about it a lot at the work. And look, there's a part of me that says, should your job even be fun? That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But what changed in the fire service? I don't think it's a Salisbury Fire Department problem.
No.
I think it's a fire service issue. What changed in both the public's perception of us, our perception of who we are, our handling of things that we have made the job just not fun anymore? Or it's not even for some people who don't work in firehouses or have never been around a firehouse. I'm not saying that we sit around and play grab ass all day because we have a serious job.
Yeah.
But when you're not doing that serious job, it used to be fun to hang around the firehouse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it used to be fun to kind of do things that now, like we were talking about.
Yeah. Put on a rainbow Afro wig and sing Peanut Butter Jelly.
We literally were talking about that same event last night. I said, we drove around on Halloween. The whole engine crew had rainbow clown wigs.
Yeah.
And somebody yesterday said, you couldn't do that anymore. And I said, why?
Why not?
Why couldn't we do that?
Yeah.
And I really don't think that anybody in my department would have a problem, but I do think the perception is that somebody would have a problem.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody said, well, somebody would see you guys driving around and be like, why the hell is the fire department driving around in a wigs? And they'd make a complaint. And I think they are right. I think the public complains on the fire department way more than it ever did before.
Yeah.
I just had to sit through a complaint the other day that was completely meritless and baseless. And I was like, what is going on?
Right.
Why is this happening? Like, this isn't something that used to happen in the fire service. And I think part of it is that in the guys who started this job in the 70s and 80s and 90s would have just said, nah, and hung up on that person.
Right.
Which is not the right answer.
No.
But is it the wrong answer completely?
Well, I think a lot of it is what we do is so visible now between social media and just, you know, we're out in the public so much. Because I know that like construction sites and other jobs, they grab ass and do stupid things and everything, but it's not seen as much.
Yes, that's true.
I think social media is a big part of it.
I think social media is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
I think it's the fear of social media more than anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it's like, you know, oh, we, you know, somebody may or may not have dumped a whole bag of flour on somebody while they were in the bathroom. And
right. Now that would be a violation of rights.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if that video of that happening and then the aftermath and everything running out and all, if that was on social media, people would be like, that's not what my tax dollars are for.
Yeah.
Oh, they're wasting flour that could be used for somebody. That's really why fair. Are they, you know, why are they doing that when, you know, they should be cleaning that bathroom, not making a mess of it. And it's just, everything's negative now.
Yeah. I sincerely believe in my heart that I have the best job in the world, but I can tell you that dealing with the public has become the worst part of the job.
Yeah.
And it's that this is always, I'm going to say this for everybody who might think about calling, it's never the patients who are the problem.
No.
Right. The people who we help never complain about us.
Yeah. It's the family or the neighbor or guy on the road.
Yeah. It's someone who has a perception of what we should do.
Yeah.
That is not what we do.
Right.
You know, the only time.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe we haven't set clear expectations. We've allowed social media and Hollywood and television to skew people's perceptions of what the fire department should and shouldn't do.
I think that's very valid. But then, like, I talk to the newer members in our department and I say, you know, didn't you grow up with the idea that the fire department was fun?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Didn't you expect that when you started working here, that it would be fun?
Yeah.
And I think this is the old man, the fire department talking now. We used to have fun because when we went on calls, there were going to be important calls.
Yeah.
Right? You get on the engine now, you're going to AFAs all day or medical locals.
Yep.
Oh, and yeah. I think that's universal across the board.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the country.
Or you know, you're going because I didn't know who else to call, so I called the fire department.
That is very much our one of the problems is the public. They no one else will answer the problems, so we always answer them.
Yeah.
Which I'm proud of my service that we do that, but I do think it's also killing my service.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense in the world. You know, I'm grateful that people they trust us to, my shower's leaking. I guess I'll call the fire department.
Yeah.
Which I never would have done, like personally would never think that would never enter my head, you know, but that's what people do. They call the fire department because they don't know what else to do. And right. We're going to come help them.
Yeah.
But I think it's killing the fire service.
Yeah.
And I'm really worried about it.
Well, yeah, because like you said, you know, with everybody being so critical, other than the patient usually, you know, being hypercritical and wanting to judge everything, you know, guys and gals are going out on calls and going, crap, I've got to, you know, if I sneeze the wrong way or, you know, oh God, if somebody sees us laughing at the ER, they're, you know, gonna say, oh, what kind of assholes are those? And, you know, da, 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 da. It's rough.
You know, the complaint that we just went through, which I won't divulge details or anything, but the paramedic at the end, I had to be like, you did nothing wrong. We're doing this because we have to cover our bases.
Right.
But you shouldn't be pissed off. But then he's like, I'm still pissed off. And I'm like, and I can't disagree with you that you're pissed off that you had this complaint against you.
Yeah.
It's not fair. You know. And I, you know, there's a part of me that wants to say to that person, nobody violated a city policy. Nobody violated a protocol. Nobody violated your civil rights.
Yeah.
Like some part of me wants to go back to that person and say, this is not what you should do.
Yeah.
You know, you're unsat. We're not your waiter. We're not working for tips, you know? And
yeah,
that's hard for me to deal with.
Oh, yeah, really, no, I agree.
I really am struggling to deal with this because I look at my career and I can say, I used to love coming to the work because I was at the firehouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I want my people to have that same feeling.
Yeah.
I also think part of that is because they're losing that feeling, or some people have already lost that feeling, they're then poisoning the well for others with that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I'm hoping that Crazy Sock Tuesday and Wacky Hat Thursday are going to perk things up. But no, it's true. It's You talk about, you know, it's the people that complain or the BS calls and stuff like that. Yeah, it gets to you. And I still, I mean, it sticks out in my mind so much. I was probably 7 years on the job, maybe. And we had chest pains at 2 o'clock in the morning somewhere. Go there. You do the normal. You grumble the entire way there. And then you get, all right. Hi, ma'am. How are you? How are you feeling? Oh, you know, I've had this like indigestion, not feeling great, you know, all day. And before I could, you know, think it, not say it, I said, well, if it was going on all day, why'd you wait till 2 o'clock in the morning to call? And she looked at me. I was like, oh, God, I shouldn't have said that. But before I could apologize, she said, you're absolutely right. I'm a bitch for calling at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm very sorry. I will call back in the morning. I'm like, no. We're taking you to the hospital. It's all good. No problem. Nope. Yeah.
But why do we, let's talk about we, the leaders of the fire service. Yeah. I think we both are leaders in the fire service at this point.
I think right? So.
Why do we, when you tell me that story, part of me was like, man, I would write your ass up.
Yeah.
That's a very human reaction.
Right.
Why do we expect our people aren't going to be human?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. We've got, well, and I think the public doesn't realize we're humans also.
Right. The public, that's the thing that I wish I could sit down with every person in the public and talk about, is you don't know what these people are going through.
Right.
You have no idea if they come into work and the night before they were fighting with their wife and now they're here at work for 24 hours and they're stewing.
Yeah.
Or you don't know if the worst call they've ever had to deal with was 5 minutes before the call they came to you. You know.
Yeah.
And this is a conversation I have with, it's not the worst calls to get to them.
No.
It's the BS calls over and over
and over. It's picking Grandma Schmerkins up for the 80th time. It's dealing with that guy over on Shoemaker Manor who's covered in feces and drunk.
We went yesterday. This is just an example of my frustration. The city of Salisbury is paid for diesel fuel, the cost of a fire engine, the cost of a lieutenant, and 3 firefighters. To go to a nursing home to pick a person up. Mm-hmm. We were passed by 3 staff of that nursing home on our way in. And they said, oh, well, we're glad you're here. And I just wanted to have a very human reaction and say, these people are paying you a lot of money for you to give them care and service. And you are failing to do that. And you're using the fire department to make up for your failings. But I didn't do that. I just smiled, took care of the patient. Because at the end of the day, she still needed the help. Right? Yeah. We helped her.
Yep.
But
and it wasn't her fault that they weren't picking her up.
No. At no point was I mad at her. She didn't call.
Yeah.
She wasn't the one meeting us at the door saying, oh, we just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You couldn't pick up a 113-pound woman? Really?
Oddly precise. Yeah. But no, I got you.
I just wanted to have a very human reaction. And my crew's bitching, and I can't disagree with them.
Right.
Because they're all right.
Yeah.
But that's taking the fun out of the job. Like, and this seems like whining of the firefighters, but we didn't take the job because we're going to get a lot of money.
No, nobody.
We're not going to get the money.
Nobody ever in the history said, I'm working for the fire department so I can be rich, unless they're working for one of those jackanapes over in California.
Sure. That's very fair. There were some of the guys I took classes with in Washington State. I'm like, you make what? Yeah. Anyways, but we didn't take the job to be rich. We took the job because we wanted the enrichment and the love of the job and all of those things.
To help our fellow man. And
to do all of those things.
Camaraderie and
all of those things. So when we're bitching about, not bitching, when I'm complaining about what's going on, it's because once you start making that part not fun anymore, I don't think you have firefighters showing up for the job.
No, I agree with you. Yeah.
And that's the real problem, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fundamentally, when fire departments talk about recruitment problems, that's the problem.
Oh, yeah, because I can tell you that before I started in Salisbury, if it wasn't for the old B shift, I wouldn't have applied to Salisbury. because I did a couple ride-alongs. I'm like, man, these guys are having fun. You know, in between calls, there's, you know, actual feel like a family kind of thing.
It's and that's not a bunch B-shift, of and they can barely tie their shoes.
The old B-shift was a different B-shift.
No, so all B-shifts are the same B-shift.
Yeah, they are. Every department you go to, folks, it's always fucking B-shift.
It's always fucking B-shift.
God.
Everywhere you go,
yeah,
it's always B-shift. And when you say, what's wrong with that guy? Oh, he's been on B-shift too long.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. You have to rotate people through B-shift to keep the B-shift from infecting them too much.
Maybe that's our problem.
We keep people on B-shift too long?
Yeah.
I mean, so don't, whoa. No, no. No, this is not our problem.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. Everything is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I plan to stay on my shift for the rest of my career.
Yeah.
This is another reason why I didn't want to promote. Suck on that. Nerds.
Whatever. Yeah. But, I mean, this is actually a conversation we've had in the chief's office before. It's, you know, how do we take it back to the way it used to be? Can we take it back to the way it used to be?
Yeah. And, you know, we're also
do I have to show up at 11 o'clock at night and throw a water balloon on somebody when they're in their bunk and run away tee-heeing? Because I'm not a good runner anymore.
There's a part of me that would love to see the chief's officers do those things.
Yeah.
Or be like those kinds of people, because I think that would signal to the people, oh yeah, it's okay to have fun at this job.
Yeah.
It's acceptable. You know? Hey, the chief's cool. We know the chief's cool. We worked with the guy for 20 years. You know, but they don't know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, a few of them on B shift saw me chase a B shifter across the engine bay the other day because he had jumped out and scared the hell out of me. So yeah. That, yeah.
You still haven't found the spider eggs I put in your office, so...
Shut the hell up.
Burn it down. Yeah, but I think... Yeah. Look, I'm going to be
But it's also getting out there and getting, you know, involved with people and all. Because I can tell you, look, and I know, our folks are so busy. But the other day, I was in the right place at the right time to cover a couple calls with C-shift so one of their students could get like two or three team leads. And they're like, okay, we'll drop you off for the fire. I was like, no, let's keep riding. I'm good. Let's go to another call, you know, because I don't do it every day anymore. And, you know, I think that's part of it also.
I would agree with you. But I also want to be very clear, caveat, we are both old enough to know that there were some really toxic things that don't need to come back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
You know.
Yeah.
We both would agree that the fire service has done some terrible things.
Yes.
That those things need to go away forever.
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem. I think we overcorrected. Right.
Yeah.
I
think that's a good way to look at it.
We were like, oh, we can't do these horrible things, so we can't do these kind of fun, impish fun things.
Right.
Too.
What? Setting a newspaper on fire and shoving it underneath the bathroom door?
Well, it's fun and impish until they just
ignore it.
Puts it out. I mean, it's not
look at it comes impish. Down. Why is the door black? No reason, boss. No reason at all.
Yeah. It's not as fun and impish anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Chief, funny story. You're going to laugh.
Yeah. Are pranks the right thing to be all the time? No. No. But as long as they don't have malice in them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that was one of the problems is people thought there was malice. Or when there was malice and people used pranks as malice, it was...
Right, yeah.
Not
like
good.
You said, it should be impish and fun. Yeah. You know, like putting glitter in the vents because you want to get somebody and then that person doesn't turn the air conditioner on for an entire shift.
But could you imagine... And I just want you to be a chief officer a second. And take that incident.
Yeah.
And that incident happens tomorrow. What's going to happen?
Oh, gosh.
Heads are going to roll.
When does B shift work again?
Tomorrow.
Oh, I can't do it tomorrow. God, maybe the next time after that.
But, gosh. You know, we used to do that stuff because it took your mind off the job. This is so fundamentally stupid.
We would plan like 4 shifts for a prank.
Oh, yeah.
We would lay things out. We'd look and we're like, oh, okay, so-and-so's here on this day and this day. All right, you need to get this and this, and we'll have this and that. I mean, very in-depth plans.
I mean, I don't want to speak
ill of the dead. We would cover medic calls
just
so you could prank people.
Yes.
Yes, it was to the point where it's like, I got the call. You do it. Go do it. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to speak ill of him because he's passed, but Biba helped me do a prank. And then I prankceptioned him inside of the prank.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I mean, we spent 2 hours pranking somebody. And then he walked away like a moron. So then I got him.
Yeah.
It was a double.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the best ones.
That one might have caused some brain damage, though.
I don't think
At least
so.
A concussion.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing as bad as the concussion he got in Fruitland that day.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The doctor's like, I've never seen a goose egg that big.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But it was all impish and fun.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like, this is the other side of it. I think about this whole conversation. I'm now a 44-year-old man. I'm 20 years into my career. I'm really 24 years into my career, just 20 years at Salisbury.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about, like, we used to just sit around the firehouse and talk all night. Now I think about sitting at the firehouse, I'm like, I'm not going to get any sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, screw that. I'm going to bed.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. It's like, I need to go sleep.
Yeah. I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there are some that still stay up late, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah, no, I'd say somebody did. It was like, hey, you want to do a 24? I was like, hell no, that'd kill me. God.
Don't kill you. It's good for you. Builds up character. Yeah. Yeah. I think here's what I want. If there's anybody even listening to this podcast in the world, just go tell a firefighter it's okay to be a firefighter. Just, you know, I think. Other
it's like
side
Fletch.
Of this,
go hug a fireman.
Just go hug a fireman. I think the other side of this is we were raised in the fire service in the post 9/11 world, where firefighters could do no wrong, and maybe we've now naturally progressed to the post 9/11 world where firefighters could do all the wrong. You know, maybe that's it too.
That could be definitely part of it.
I have no answers. I just have questions.
Well, bring back some impish pranks. Make some chocolate chip cookies for your shift.
I'm not going to do that one. Not because I didn't think it was funny, but because people got mad at me who lived with that person.
God, I couldn't even use my own bathroom.
Yeah. That one can stay in the vaults.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day, a group of friends online, and I was like, I can't remember what. Oh, they were talking about cereal. I was like, there was a night that my partner and I ate every marshmallow out of this young man's fruit, Lucky Charms for the next day.
No. I want to set that up. It wasn't like the small bag of Lucky Charms. It was a 5-pound bag
it's
of like generic
the,
Lucky.
Yeah, it's like the Sam's Club.
It was like a month's supply.
It's like good icons or something. It wasn't Lucky Charms.
Yeah, it was this is the guy, the poor day work bastard who is going to eat Lucky Charms for the rest of the next 2 months. His whole bag of Lucky Charms now has no marshmallows.
Yeah. And that was we picked through and ate every marshmallow. God, our stomachs were so upset. And this person was like, why did you eat the marshmallows? Why didn't you just throw them away or hide them? And the one guy on there, he's a medic in Nashville. He was like, you have no idea how a firehouse works. Yeah. You have to eat them.
Well, God. It would have been offensive if you didn't eat them.
Exactly.
If you had just thrown them away.
God.
But this poor bastard comes into work the next day. And he goes to get his cereal, and there's two idiots sitting at the kitchen table going, my belly hurts. And he just pours the saddest bowl of cereal. It's just the oat bran crunch. And he has to sit there and eat it with his lactose-free milk.
We did not mix his milk up that time.
I still did. I did not do it. I don't know who did it. I'm still blamed for it, but I did not do it.
You know who probably did it? Papa Hop.
Probably. Bastard probably did. Never said anything.
Yeah, because that man liked a prank.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. God, that poor boy. If he smelled milk, he would poop himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor bastard. Well, you bastards eat his every one of his marshmallows. And it was not even like that had to have been 3,000 calories a person that you ate of just marshmallows.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's no way it tasted good.
Oh, no, it didn't. No. No.
That's why the firehouse at Station 1 now, everything is locked up like Fort Knox.
Yeah. Just
can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Especially B-Shift.
Yeah, it's yep. Yep, and we were B-Shifters.
You were B-Shifters. You definitely were.
Oh, God, man. That's so good.
It's like somebody putting a dead spider in the EMS pass-on book.
Yeah, and it not being found till 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's the best part of that story.
Yeah, and the partner goes, the fuck is your problem, man? good times.
That's my point, is I want my people to be 20 years from now going, man, remember when they done that dumb shit?
Yeah.
I want them to be happy about the dumb shit.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I want their careers to be. Because I want them to retire and enjoy their careers. Because I'm going to say, when I retire, I enjoyed my career.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I ate some real shitty food and got pranked every once in a while. Yeah. And a whole flag of fire dumped on my head.
Flower! And that was a good one because the poor bastard sitting at the table got the lust oil dumped on his head.
Yeah.
Let's eat his oatmeal.
Yep. 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 Yep.
As the two B-shifters ran away.
Fucking B-shift. I'm telling you. Always B-shift.
Oh, goodness.
Well, we've reminisced.
Yeah.
We've lived. We've laughed. We loved.
Yeah.
Topic two.
So, I went to a concert the other night.
Ugh.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Because, so evidently, see, this is a problem. I don't know if this happens to you, but current Chris has a lot of faith that future Chris is going to want to do stuff.
Hmm.
So current Chris says, oh yeah, sounds great. So evidently, like 3 months ago, my wife said, hey, I got tickets to see Fall Out Boy during the middle of the week. Do you want to go? I said, sure, sounds delightful. I don't know anything about the Fall Out Boy. So,
please tell me you went in there and said, I'm here to see the Fall Out Boy.
No, because they were already playing. The first band was already playing when we got there. So,
can I side tangent?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'm going to side tangent. My wife, God bless her, she's upstairs. She can hear this, I'm sure. She loves going to concerts. She drags me to concerts. I hate concerts.
Yeah.
Dislike them. And the thing I think I dislike the most about the concert is the freaking cover, the opening bands. We have been to concerts where there's been two or three opening acts.
Wow.
That's 3 hours of music that I have to listen to. To listen to a band that I didn't want to see in the first place.
Yeah, I think this one had two opening acts.
How about this? If I'm here to see the Fall Out Boy, tell me what time Fall Out Boy is being on the damn show, and that's what time I show up.
So my wife did do that. She did like research and like of people that went to the other legs of this tour. And she said Fall Out Boy will go on at 9 o'clock.
At she night?
Said, yes.
On a Wednesday?
Yes. That's what I was like. Oof. She's like, but don't worry, they'll be done by 11. I was like,
11 o'clock?
Yeah.
At night?
Yeah. On a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday? That's a school night.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and there were people with school kids there. Like, this winged child was 6 years old. But, so, yeah. So, I had agreed to this. And then, like, last week, my wife goes, oh, you excited for the concert next week? I was like, yeah. What is it? Is it Bree's concert? She's like, no, the Fall Out Boy concert. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be fun. Yeah, yeah. She's like, you know, I got to say.
I would have said that to me, and I would have been like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
She's like, I got us a hotel. It's like 2.5 blocks from there.
Two and a half blocks?
It's all good.
11 o'clock at night?
Yeah. So, so I said, what time do you want to leave on Wednesday? And this one, she was like, oh, you know, well, we've got, we'll check in, and then, you know, just, we have to be at the arena by 9 o'clock. I was like, you don't care about the opening acts. No, not really. It was like Jimmy Eat World and somebody else. And I was like, okay. I was like, are you sure? Because I'm feeling bad that, you know, she might miss part of it. She's like, I honestly don't care. All right. So I was like, well, what time do you want to leave? She's like, oh, we'll leave a little bit after 4. I was like, look, doing the math in my head. I was like, well, the concert starts at 6, but you say you don't want to worry. We got to be there at 9. Okay, whatever. So we're driving up and we stop and grab a little bite to eat. We get there and it's like there was traffic and stuff. And we get to the hotel at like 8:15. I'm like, woman, we have got to move. So we get in the elevator. The elevator's run by marbles, evidently. Because that's what it sounded like as the elevator went down. It was like, I guess it was chains or something. But it was like rattling and stuff. I was like, cool. So we might not make it to the concert because we're going to die. But all right. And she was like, do you feel okay walking to the concert? I was like, I think we'll be fine. It's, you know, it's a cold, windy night. There's not going to be a lot of people on the street. I'll have my radar up. We're good. So we get out, we walk, we go, we get to the venue, open the doors. You can hear Jimmy Eat World playing their song. She's like, we made it in time. Delightful. What seats are we in? She said, 115, P1 and 2. I said, where's that? I don't know. I thought you would know. How the hell would I know where these concert seats are? Whatever. So we go through the metal detector. She, you know, we're fine. We go. And she's like, I want a beer. I was like, I'm good. So she got herself a beer. We, there's curtains. So you have to go through them to get to the different risers. So we find the one that says 115. Well, we go and there's 1 and 2 in P. Sarah's like, this lady, you know, it's in the middle of the two bands, so it's fine. She's like, those are our seats. And she's like, no, we're in 1 and 2 of 116. 115's on that side. And we're like, what? So we got to go around, but then we go back out. There's no way to go around. So we asked the attendant. Delightful man. He helped us out, but it was, I felt bad because he had small arms, like a genetic thing. And he was waving at the people to stand up. Are you there?
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, and it was, he was like kind of flapping. So it was comical a little bit. But we get down to our seats, sit down. I'm like, all right, ready for the Fall Out Boy. And then who sits next to me but a young lady who is easily 400 on the hoof. And she goes, I know I take up a lot of room. Now, what am I supposed to say to that? I'm like, no, you're fine. It's great. Nice to meet you. Yeah. So the band starts playing, and the first couple songs were great, but then the guitar and the drums were louder than the singer. So all I could hear was like, and then, you know, music playing, whatever. So, but yeah, we get done. It's 11 o'clock at night, and we've got a, well, there's a whole herd of people walking now, but it's like, I was sweaty and hot, and I was having a people rub up against me that I did not want rubbing up against me. It was, no. I don't want to go to concerts anymore.
So, in my mind, you stayed up on a Wednesday night till 11. You got back to the, probably back to your hotel around midnight. So you didn't go to work for 3 days because you needed to recover, right?
I was at work by 9 o'clock. Oh, because
no way.
I got the text Tuesday. Hey man, I need you for interviews Thursday and Friday morning at 9. Sure thing, Chief. I'll make it happen. So my wife and I got up at 6 o'clock. On the road we went.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Fun times.
Nope. No chance.
Yeah. It's like all these people that are like, oh, I'm going to go to Ocean's Calling or Country Calling and all this. I'm like, no, there's going to be so many people there. No, I've seen pictures. Yeah. Or like I told my wife, I was like, there are bands that I like to listen to, you know, but I would never go to one of their concerts, like a Breaking Benjamin or a Skillet or something like that, because no, I don't need that. She's like, oh, don't be scared. I was like, if it's at like the 930 club, like a smaller venue, maybe. But the big arenas, you can't really hear and see. No. I don't need it.
Yeah. My wife, God bless her. She's like, oh, we should take you to concert. She bought me concert tickets to shows I really liked. And I'm like, great.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. It's never been my thing. If the music sounds worse, I don't care about the cover
band. Most of the time, yeah.
Opening bands, I don't want to pay extra money for beer.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Stay in that. I also, as I get older, and I think my ADHD gets worse, I can't listen to the same band for like an hour. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
There's some bands I love. I like listening to their music. And when I was a kid, I would listen to their whole album. Now,
yeah,
I'll listen to the two songs I really like, and then I won't listen to that album.
Exactly.
You know,
I will say that band the other night, they played a couple like covers in between stuff. Like they would play like three or four of their songs and then a cover. So that kind of split it up a little bit. So that was nice.
That's nice. Still wouldn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. The Ocean Calling thing and the... What is it? Country Calling? Whatever the hell it is.
Oh, yeah.
I would have no desire to be at either one of those places. Especially what they're playing. Paying to go see those concerts is insane.
What's that? I mean, I look at some of the, you know, the videos and stuff of like freaking back in the day, HF Festival, and that just too many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
Or like the people that, what is the one in Delaware? Firefly or whatever?
Firefly, yeah.
Oh, that's a bunch of smelly people.
Yes, it is. God. Yes, it is. It's a bunch of people sitting in tents for like four days.
Well, it's like this. It was so hot in that arena. And every now and again, I would get this cool breeze from behind me. I was like, oh, maybe the air's kicking on. No, I turned back. It was this fat guy jiggling around, but I got a delightfully disgusting breeze from his jiggle every now and again, so...
I also have hypervigilance when I go to those planes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I was, Sarah's like, you looked miserable. I was like, well, I was being accosted by the young lady beside me in not a good way. And yeah, I was on high alert.
Yeah, I can never relax. I can never, I mean, I've been to concerts where people have passed out and I have to, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm a paramedic. I gotta go over there and help somebody.
Yeah.
You know, or, I went to a concert in New York City with my wife, and this venue was in like the third sub basement level of this place. Like it was so far below ground, and I was like, I don't feel comfortable at all. We're all in a death trap.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
A death trap.
You know. And she's like, "You didn't relax the whole time." I was like, "No, because I wanted to know which exit we had to get out of, so that we could beat the rush and not get freaking station nightclubbed."
That's what I told my wife. I was like, if something happens, I said, we're staying right here. We're not getting trampled.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, I have a route. Trust me. And the people like at the end, they set off all this confetti and stuff. There were people leaving with armfuls of it. What the hell do you do with that?
What do you do with that?
They were sweeping it off the floor.
For what reason?
I'm sure they'll put it on eBay or something. Yeah. Dumb.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. Yeah, I don't. I said it's not my bag.
Yeah,
which I you know rather... if it's your bag, it's fine.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
you know.
But, you know what? We'll tell your wife and my wife to go to concerts.
That's what I tell my wife all the time.
Yeah,
my good friend Evan, his girlfriend, loves to go to concerts. I'm like, just go with her.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be offended.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you miserable.
I almost had an out for this one. Because my wife and I and my oldest were riding back from somewhere. I don't know. And we talked about this concert. And my oldest goes, oh, well, sounds like a fun night. Oh. She's like, why didn't you ask me? And Sarah said, I did ask you. You said no. And I was like, I don't remember you asking me. So I said, well, I did. I was like, but maybe it'll keep going a little bit. And she's like, well, would you rather go instead? Nope. No. So close.
I'll jump on the grenade.
No, because my wife knows that is my go-to. The same with when they went to Florida recently. Oh, well, don't you want... No, somebody has to stay with the dogs.
That's fair. Well,
did your family... Nope, they're busy. Have you asked? No. So yeah, I sat at home with my dogs and watched Fletch. And then I got angry because Fletch 2 isn't free.
What?
Yes, Fletch 1 is free. Fletch 2, it was for rental only.
Well, Fletch 1 is the superior movie.
But... Yeah, I mean, but Fletch 2 is funny.
It's funny. It's good. It's got, you know, nice bits.
Yeah. That's it. The other day, a total side tangent, but somebody at work was talking about all the problems they've had with the airplane mechanics and all. Like, evidently, there was one recently that when they redid the brakes, they hooked the electrical system up to the hydraulic system.
Oh.
I wouldn't think those connections would go together.
You wouldn't think.
But, you know, they're like, I can't believe that. You know, didn't FAA have all those checklists? I said, yeah, but look at the plane mechanics. Watch the movie Fletch. And they were like,
banks.
Yeah. They're like, oh my God, you are right. I was like, yes. See, if Fletch has taught us nothing else.
It's all ball bearings, baby.
Don't you tell me my job, boy.
God, love that movie.
Oh, God, such a good movie.
Well, yeah. I think we've casted the pod.
We have cast the pod.
Stay out of concerts, people.
Yeah, stay out of them. They're bad.
And go hug a fireman.
Yeah, that's the words to live by. Yeah. And all right. Take care, folks.
Oh, fun fact before we go. Did you know that the burpee is named after a real person named Royal Burpee?
You should track this person down and punch them in their face.
Unfortunately, he's dead.
Dig him up.
But I might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
And that's my fun fact of the day. Good luck and be safe.
Stay dry, folks.
Stay dry.